Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, you did such a good job with that More Than Mom intro.
Thank you. I just decided to stop overthinking it.
Good job.
Do we share that you actually had to script it for me before?
Without
me saying the episode number, I get very confused. And this is a More Than Mom episode, so there is no episode number,
nope.
Which maybe is a mistake. Maybe we should go back to the drawing board and renumber every one of our episodes. But again, this is one of our episodes where we talk about something a little fluffier. They come out on Sundays, every couple of Sundays. And we've got a really fun one today that was inspired by sort of, you know, those magazine articles where they'll say something like, how to look your best in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond, or something like that. I was thinking about the fact that now that you're 40, we have both parented inside 3 decades of our lives, our 20s, our 30s, and our 40s.
I loved those magazine features. Probably I was in my 20s, but it seemed so, now that I think about it, it's like obviously grossly oversimplifies the idea of a decade, but there's something like satisfying. Do you remember like it was always in style, right? Or maybe Real Simple or something.
And I thought a lot of places did it. Maybe how to take care of your skin, 20s, 30s, and 40s, or like how to dress your best in your 20s, 30s, and 40s or whatever. And yeah, you would go through it and it was like, you would always find something to identify with, and then you could kind of look ahead and be like, oh,
that's how the 40-year-olds are doing it.
What's going to happen to my skin when I'm 40? Everything's going to fall apart, I guess. So I just thought it was really fun. And the cool thing is you and I both had babies in our 20s and 30s, but even our experiences were so different because I started so early.
Yeah.
And like you kind of compressed it into a more normal time frame. And then like, I'm just thinking people listening right now who are in their 40s and have really young kids, or maybe who are just starting their families, they're going to have a completely different experience of being a mom in their 40s. So again, we're going to grossly oversimplify the decades, but I still think it's fun. And then I was even thinking like, we'll still be moms in our 50s and 60s. So maybe we'll have to do an episode about it then. Huh?
Keep going. Well, and I like thinking about, I know we have listeners in their 20s and 30s and 40s. We know that from our listener surveys and because you all write us emails and stuff. And so I've always found it very interesting, and this is something we've discussed, I think, before on the podcast. You relate to other moms both by the age of your kids, and in some cases, that's the tie that makes sense, right? Like you both are moms of toddlers, but there could be a 10 or 15 year age gap between the ages of the moms, and sometimes it's helpful to, you know, align yourself or be able to compare notes with a mom who is your age, regardless of the kid's age. So I think both are helpful when you're building your tribe and making friends and, you know, fostering those connections, but they're not always one and the same. The people whose kids are the same age as your kids is not necessarily your age. So,
yeah, totally agreed. Well, let's just set the stage because I know everyone vaguely knows how old our kids are and how old we are, but we don't want to make them do math.
No.
So let's say how old we were when we had each of our kids. So I was 20, 22, 26, 28, and 31.
Wow. That just, I know that about you, but it just, I look at that decade of 20s and I just think, wow.
It's
a
blur.
You were busy.
I was busy. Yes.
I was 28, 30, and 32. My 32, I was like 3 weeks shy of turning 33, actually.
I was almost 32 with my 31. But I do think it's interesting how, even though I got such a jump start, like your three, and my older or younger three, are sort of like in a very similar, especially my last two, 28 and 31, and then you were 28, 30, and 32. So it's like we were really having the younger ones. It's just that I'm a few years older than you. So your kids are,
There's an age difference there. But like if you and I both look back to when we were 35, say, it is pretty similar. We were 35 and our youngest kid was, you know, a preschooler, roughly.
Right.
So that, we do have that in common.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think this will be fun. I took a peek at questions you have, and it's going to feel just like those magazines, I think.
I can't wait. And I hope it sounds just like reading a magazine, if that's even a thing. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and tackle our 20s.
So I've talked for years on this show about my morning routine, Megan, and how sometimes it's healthier than others. So one of the things I've added in the last couple of years is to try to drink a glass of water before my coffee, because with hydration, I have found if I start the day behind, it's just really hard to catch up. And recently I got to try our sponsor Hydrant's Rapid Hydration Mixes, which are these little single serve electrolyte powders you stir into a glass of water. Each one contains the four essential electrolytes that your body needs, so sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. And the result is that I hydrate more quickly first thing in the morning, which keeps me going longer.
Well, you know I need a flavored beverage of one sort or another with me at all times, Sarah. And I've shared before that I just don't love drinking plain water. Hydrant comes in flavors like blood orange, which is yummy, and a new keto-friendly lemonade and pink grapefruit with no added sugar and only 2 grams of carbs. And if you like your hydration warm in the winter, they've recently launched their immunity line with flavors like lemon ginger and hot apple cider. And each packet contains more than 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C plus B6, B12, and D, and essential vitamins, minerals, and electrolytes with ginger and zinc.
Ooh, I want to try those for sure as it gets cooler here. Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you can save even more with a monthly subscription. And we've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. Go to drinkhydrant.com/mom and enter our promo code MOM at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/mom and enter the promo code MOM for 25% off your first order. Well, we are heading into the holiday season soon, Megan, and I know our listeners are looking for ways to make family time festive this year, even if we can't gather in large groups. One idea I love is to create a shared meal experience that multiple households can create together, but separately if necessary. So I've seen families actually do an online cooking tutorial virtually, but together, where they're making the same recipe at the same time and like comparing notes as they go and talking about the food. It's really fun.
Oh, I love that idea. And you're right. This year, people are going to be getting really creative with their holiday meals. Our sponsor, Wild Alaskan Seafood Box, ships sustainable, wild-caught seafood right to your door, along with recipes and cooking tips. You can do a one-time purchase or start a subscription. And if you're the kind of person who normally only eats seafood in restaurants, this is a great way to incorporate seafood into your at-home meals and celebrations.
We've been blown away by the taste and quality of the seafood from our Wild Alaskan Seafood Box. And I think it could be really fun to give some Dungeness crab or my favorite black cod as a gift and then order some for yourself and do that distance family seafood night using the recipes and tutorials from Wild Alaskan Seafood Box.
If purchasing seafood has intimidated you in the past, you're not alone. I really loved knowing that every fish in my box had been seasonally and sustainably caught. And it was so easy to unpack the box and stick everything in the freezer till I was ready to cook it. And John at Wild Alaskan came up with an amazing offer just for our listeners. If you use the code THEMOMHOUR when you sign up for a subscription at wildalaskanseafoodbox.com, you'll receive an 8-ounce package of Wild Alaskan smoked sockeye salmon for life. That smoked salmon package has a retail value of $18, and you'll get one in every box you ever order for the life of your membership. Again, use the code THEMOMHOUR when you order your box at wildalaskanseafoodbox.com, and you'll get free smoked salmon for life. Check it out. Okay, so let's start with some of the challenges of having kids in your 20s. Again, my experience being that I was so young and you were more like in your late 20s.
Right.
So that's even a different experience. But I'll go first on this one. So I started really young. I was 20 when Jacob was born and I was still a college student and all of my friends were young. I was the only one of my friends with kids until my oldest was at least 7, maybe 8, like of my close, circle of friends. I did hang out with my sister a lot. She's 10 years older and she already had kids by that point. So that was nice. But, that's just one person.
Yeah.
And it can be really lonely. And I remember this feeling of really wanting to be taken seriously as a mom. But then I would show up at like preschool drop off and everyone thought I was like the teacher's aide or like, a new preschool teacher or Jacob's big sister.
Wow.
I still get that sometimes. It's very flattering when I'll go into like, one of the kids' work or something and they don't know that I'm their mom, but that doesn't happen with the younger kids, just the older ones.
Yeah.
The other funny thing, I was thinking about this. I remember feeling like I had to like change things about myself because I was so young. So like this was the late 90s and I still wore, oversized t-shirts and flannels and like those awful straight leg jeans that everybody was wearing back then. They're probably wearing them again now. And I just remember having this feeling of like, well, I'm a mom now, so I guess I need to start wearing like sweater sets and pearls. Like I seriously had this feeling like I needed to start dressing totally different so that I would be a mom, like looking like a mom. And that was really weird because I was still really young and I was still 20. Like,
yeah.
My friends were still doing stuff like going out and like they were just starting to go to bars and stuff. And like that really didn't happen for me
yeah.
Really at all in my 20s. Another thing that was really hard is that my body clock was completely unsuited to motherhood. So at the time, I was like a serious night owl. I still think I really needed like 11 or 12 hours of sleep. I really just didn't do well with being woke. I really would just sleep right through. I had a really hard time waking up. And even though you think like young, you have all this energy, I just remember feeling so exhausted and sleep deprived all the time with Jake and Isaac. And I really didn't with the older kids or the younger kids. So I think I must have either I adjusted or just as I got older,
yeah,
getting up in the middle of the night and getting up early started to feel just a little easier.
Yeah. I mean, at 20, you haven't had a lot of adult years to practice like taking care of your body rhythms and yourself.
Right.
And so I can see how even though you have youth on your side, you haven't like practiced things like, oh, I should probably go to bed early because
yes.
you just haven't practiced that kind of self-care, I guess, is the
right.
for lack of a better term.
And I probably shouldn't suck down this Mountain Dew at 10 o'clock. Right. That might keep me up like that kind of thing. I still had that feeling of being really invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't, you know, that didn't go away for quite some time because I had to learn it. And then I guess the last one for me is money. I mean, we lived like college kids, but we had kids. Mm-hmm. So we were broke and all of our furniture was like that particle board stuff. Mm-hmm. And most of it was passed down. And it just like every place we looked just kind of looked kind of thrown together the way your first apartment looks. Only we lived that way for like a decade. Although I will say, in my 20s, I really just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't care about being broke. I didn't care about my house or car looking any kind of way. That stuff, like that lifestyle creep, as they call it, and wanting to have a more elevated way of living really didn't hit me until my 30s, which kind of made it like I was blissfully ignorant about yeah. what I didn't have. Like, I didn't know any better. So it felt manageable.
Yeah.
So what about you? Challenges.
So challenges, I was thinking back and yeah, being 28, I was near the end of my 20s. And I wonder what the national average is, but I want to say that it is around 26 and a half or 27, just like the wide average of first
right.
baby for women. So I was pretty close in there. But one thing I remember, and this was challenging, is it was completely divided, a completely split experience between the moms I met locally. I was living in Scottsdale, Phoenix area. The moms I met locally versus my friends from college and high school. So locally, I was right on par. There were several moms younger than me. There was a handful older, but Arizona, it's economically possible to start larger families younger. There's large religious populations there for a variety of reasons. People start families younger in Arizona than they do in other places. So I was like right in the mix. And I, like I said, some younger, some older, didn't feel particularly like an outlier in either direction. But my close friends from high school, college, and, you know, other points in my life, I was like by far the first. I mean, I felt like I wasn't even like on the same planet. And that was hard. Mm-hmm. You know, just people not understanding what my life was like or my work challenges or you do feel like you lose a little bit of the ability to connect with the people you've been very close to. And then guess what? They all caught up. So now we all
right.
have kids. But I do remember that feeling. I remember being in a wedding and by that point I had two kids. So I had almost 3-year-old and like a 9-month-old. And I just like the things I had to think about that day, Brian and I were both in the wedding. Hi, Allison, if you're listening. It was like I was like on a different planet from not just the bride, but everyone. Nobody else was nursing babies or finding childcare or had, you know, toddlers with runny noses. And that just felt like it went on for years. It wasn't just that wedding, but any of our past life friends, we were far ahead of. So that was a little bit hard. I think the hard part is just feeling like you don't have as much to talk about for a while. And then, like I said, they all catch up and then you get to feel like the more experienced one if you were on the younger side. And then the other thing that came up for me is I feel like 27, 28 was a point career-wise when a lot of people were, maybe they'd had an entry-level job for a few years and a lot of them were going back to grad school or maybe they had already or they were starting to make big career moves like promotions or even moving across the country or moving abroad. And while I did keep working after I had my first baby, I mean, I obviously wasn't going to go get an MBA or like, you know, take on a different position or something. So I think I just was very aware that the work trajectory I had been on was going to be different for me. And I can't speak of someone who stayed hardcore in the corporate world forever. So I know that there's a lot bigger like trends here that I'm not really speaking to. I just remember thinking like that my peers were really going all in a lot of ways in their careers right about that age. And I was not. So,
yeah. You know, it's funny how like this is so like you mentioned the different areas and kind of like what the demographics in your area are like. And I'm just thinking how much I moved when my kids were really, my oldest were really little. And I lived for a while in the South. I lived in small towns. I lived in like urban areas. I had at one point I was taking classes at a community college where I took a theater class and literally everyone in that was like 18 to 20, no kids. And that was like some of the most fun because like it felt like going back in time because I had a baby by that point. And so I would do my like adult mom life stuff and then go to the theater class and goof around for three hours, which was great. But then when I would go, like I had a waitressing job and a lot of the women working there, even the young women had kids. So it was like, even in my day-to-day life, I was shifting between worlds where nobody at one age range had kids and like everybody in that age range in a different place had those kids. And then when I moved to Chicago, I was 29 and by that point I had four and was like, facilitating a mom's group at a yoga studio. And I'll never forget how weird it was to have four kids and most of the moms coming were first time moms and they were in their late 30s.
Yeah.
And it was weird because I felt like I had all this cred by, you know, nature of having had four kids and having written books about it and stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, why are these people listening to me at all? Like why they should not be taking me seriously. They're so much older than me. So, that's so true. You could really have a very different experience depending on where you live or like who the people are that you're associating with for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it could be different throughout the day, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Which is why I think I always give the advice on this show that the more you can, have a wide variety of experiences in your extended friend group, not like you have to like, I don't mean you have to overly curate your friends and be like, well, I need an older mom friend or I need like someone.
Sorry, I don't have room for you. You're
out. I mean, if you keep that in mind as kind of your North Star, I just think it helps with so many of the insecurities we have because we see the wide range of normal in kids and in adult parenting experiences and that only can benefit us. So I feel like I return to that a lot, but.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the benefits. And you can go first with this, Sarah, but what do you feel like some of the benefits were of both starting your family in your 20s and then maybe just being a mom in your 20s?
Yeah. I mean, I think mine will be quick here. And again, I was 28 when I had my first baby. Mm. So most of my 20s were behind me. I do remember thinking it might take us a while to get pregnant. I didn't have any medical reason to think that. Maybe I can be a little bit of a pessimist or an overly realist. So I remember thinking, if it's going to take us a while, that's okay because we're starting, you know, we've got time on our side. It didn't take us very long, but I do remember being comforted by the fact that I didn't have the pressure of the clock on me. And then just looking back, I don't think I was aware of this at the time, but man, 28's a great age for like just feeling like a healthy adult. Like you were talking about your early 20s, some healthy habits maybe hadn't kicked in yet. You're still coming out of your teenage years. I mean, I just had very few aches, pains, issues. I was a very healthy and like uncomplicated medical case. And I don't think I appreciated that at the time, but I know it made a difference in, you know, the ease of my pregnancies and just even in my worry and anxiety level. Like I definitely have talked about how I have more health worry and anxiety now, but I really didn't then. I just didn't have that much to worry about. I was pretty healthy. So I think those were the benefits to me. What about you?
So this is an interesting one because I think the narrative is often that like what people would say to me, you know, and I was 20, I could barely take care of myself or I really would never have been ready to have, you know, a kid at 20. And I'm not telling people to go have kids in their 20s. I'm not telling my kids to do that by all means or by any means. But I do think it's interesting how fast you can get ready for something when you have to. Mm. And I actually really liked that having kids took some pressure off me in my early 20s. Like I did not have any idea what I wanted to do with my life. I was kind of just, I knew I wanted to do something meaningful and productive and kind of big. Like I always had that feeling about myself, but like I'm, you know, 19, 20, I'm just kind of going to college classes, but pretty directionless. I was just kind of floating through life. And then it was like, oh, how about this? How about I'll just be a mom and pour all of my energy into that for like the next 10 to 15 years, right? And it actually just felt very natural and it allowed me some time to figure the rest of it out. Mm-hmm. And also because I was, even though I was a mom, I was still only in my 20s. So I kind of got a pass to still be playing around with different professional identities and all those things. So when I think about like my writing career that I really launched when I was 25 and pregnant with Will, I might not have taken that risk if I'd been like 10 years older and more driven by like security or already had a job I was really entrenched in or had a lifestyle I needed to keep up. There was something about that age that just allowed me to kind of go all in on it. And I appreciate that and see that all of the 20s, there are many worse ways I could have used my 20s than the way I did. And I feel good about that. And then, you know, you mentioned health. I mean, being kind of effortlessly fit and high energy is kind of that bonus. You can't underestimate it. Right. And in my case, like my pregnancies and births and recoveries were all pretty easy. And I got to think being so young had something to do with that. And that had I gotten, you know, had I had five kids from 30 to 41, maybe I would have felt a little more knocked back after each one. Yeah. So. Okay. So now let's talk about your 30s. So like I mentioned before, I really only actually gave birth to one of my kids in my 30s. And I was only a few months shy of 32. So I really spent most of my 30s with a house full of young children. But Sarah, you were more solidly in your childbearing years in your 30s. Which I think is maybe a bit more typical of like the American mom experience. So do any challenges to that come to mind?
You know, overall it was all good. So I had to think of some challenges, but one of the things that I've noticed about the difference between, I know we'll get into our 40s later, but I did feel when I was in my early 30s, especially like I was kind of a junior, like I had a junior level of experience in both the professional realm and in the mom realm. So when you're in your 20s, you're legit young, right? So a lot of the ego that you get from being a young mom or a young professional, you get, like you said, you get a bit of a pass or you get a bit of like, you've got your whole life ahead of you. You've got your whole world, you know, ahead of you. So that,
or your accolades, you get like more accolades for anything you do.
Because you're such a young whippersnapper. So that starts to fade a little bit in your 30s. And I had very young kids in my 30s. So at 32, I was having my third kid and you know, health-wise and pregnancy-wise, that was all great. But I also hadn't really like advanced my career a whole bunch. I was starting to do freelance writing. I felt very junior in that world. And you know, like I glommed onto you and I glommed onto our other internet friends. And I very much kind of looked up to and tried to emulate other writers who were a few years ahead of me. But I was very junior in that realm because I had left a more corporate world. And I was also pretty junior in the motherhood realm. So I think in my early to mid 30s, especially, I just remember feeling like I just hadn't quite figured it out, which if you're me with my personality, I like to have things figured out. I'm not going to say that was like some huge, like earth shattering challenge, but I can tell you that at 40, I feel so much more experienced, both professionally and in motherhood. And when I was 25, I just was young and didn't know any better. So there was a, like, call it like an adolescence of sorts or something, like a like a coming into both roles where I felt like I hadn't quite learned enough yet.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned that in my 20s, I really felt like kind of free to figure stuff out. I didn't feel like a lot of financial pressure. And then in my 30s, I suddenly started to feel some pressure externally that like, okay, now this is the decade where I have to figure this out. Like this is a decade where I really need to have the mom stuff figured out. My kids are going into school or already in school. And that's not, and like my job, and I want to know where we're going to live. And that's not easy to do when you're starting the decade out with like five kids, 11 and under, right?
Figure it out.
I know. Right, exactly. So we did move to the town we currently live in when I was 31, which is crazy to me because this is definitely the longest I've ever lived in one place. And to have like the majority of my kids having gone through the same school system the whole time, like that just wasn't my reality in the 20s because we were moving around so much. And then it was like this idea that, okay, now we got to settle down. And there were a lot of benefits to that. Like it really simplifies your life to find one place and stay there and put in your, you know, put down some roots and like have your kids all go through the same school, start to finish or whatever. But I think in my 30s, it also led to some stagnant feelings at times and like uncertainty if it was like the right place to end up. Mm-hmm. Like I knew I wanted to end up someplace, but was this the right place? And I think I had more angst around that when I was like 34, 35, 36 than I have about anything else ever. And I don't have that angst anymore now. Like I feel like I made the choice. I did it. And, you know, it's not like I can never move again, but I'm glad that I kind of stabilized in that way. But, you know, I don't like feeling locked into choices. And I do think there's something about the 30s where you start to feel that window of opportunity shrinking. Mm-hmm. And it is shrinking, but for some reason it felt really disproportionately urgent in my 30s. Like now that I'm in my 40s, I feel more relaxed and like I have more time in front of me than I did in my 30s, mm-hmm. which is backward. But there's something about the 30s that just feels legit and real. And kind of along those lines, I also was no longer the youngest mom around.
Yeah.
Like I was still pretty young and I was no longer like the wise old sage to my friends. Cause by that point they all had kids that were like the same ages as my younger kids. Mm-hmm. And I like, it was like this identity crisis. I'd go to the middle school or high school for an event and I was a baby, mm-hmm. but I'd go to the elementary school and there were lots of younger moms there than me. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of hard to get used to. I remember taking Claire to the park when she was like 4 or 5 and I was looking over at this brand new, like fresh-faced mom in her 20s, sitting on a blanket with her toddler having snacks. And I thought, oh my gosh, when did I become the old mom?
Yeah.
And I was probably like 36 or 37. So it's not like I was actually old, but I was just so much more experienced. I didn't have babies anymore. So I just felt kind of like, I don't know, like all the young mom stuff was gone and I didn't know what was next.
Yeah.
And so that was an identity crisis.
For someone like you who had 5 kids, that was such a part of your identity for so long that that makes sense that it would be, it would just be kind of a mourning or a transition away from that being central to your identity. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I wonder if people who have their first kids in their 30s are going through all that stuff at the same time, or if it's like, it gets a little bit delayed. You know, mm-hmm. I wonder what that experience is like. Maybe people can email us and tell us, because I would love to hear. All right, well, let's take a break. And then when we get back, we'll talk about the benefits of being a mom in your 30s. And then we'll dive into the 40s. Today, we're introducing a new sponsor, Apostrophe. So Sarah, you know, I'm quite the freckle machine, right? Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, I started noticing these like pronounced dark spots on my cheeks. And that's not a place where I would usually get freckles. And then it spread to my neck, which seemed really weird to me. I really like my freckles, but this was like random discoloration and it was really bumming me out. It made my skin look a lot older. So I did some research and thought it might be melasma, which is just like a darkening of the skin and probably treatable. But like, let's be honest, it's 2020 and going in person to a dermatologist right now to get a prescription for dark spots just isn't really high on my priority list.
Oh yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, preventive healthcare is still really important, but I can see how going into a doctor's office for something more cosmetic would just, you know, not be happening right now.
Right. So I was really excited to try Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that connects you with a dermatologist online who can prescribe your products to meet your skincare goals. It's a lot easier and less expensive than trying to get an appointment in person. I just filled out a questionnaire about my skin concerns and my medical history. Then I submitted it along with a few selfies of my problem areas through their website. And then less than 24 hours later, I heard back from a dermatologist with a customized treatment plan for me. And a few days later, my prescription skincare was delivered to my door. I've been using the cream for a couple weeks now, and I really do think it's making a difference already.
Apostrophe offers topical and oral medications that help with skin concerns like breakouts, dark spots, fine lines, wrinkles, and redness. And you can get your first visit with a board-certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com for only $5 when you use our code MOM. This code is only available to our listeners, so to get started, go to apostrophe.com and click Begin Visit. Then use the code MOM at sign up, and you'll get your dermatology visit for only $5.
That's apostrophe.com, apostrophe.com, and use that code MOM to get your dermatology visit for only $5. So Sarah, we've been talking about our sponsor Vionic Shoes for a while now, but I feel like I really need to take some time to sing the praises of one of their shoes in particular. It's the Willa Slip-On Flat, which is a loafer style that comes in a great selection of prints and colors. I got mine in bright blue suede, and I have been wearing them with everything. This shoe is so versatile. It can dress up jeans, or you can pair it with a sweater dress, or basically like anything you want to throw at it. And the sassy prints and colors make it so fun. I feel like a total boss lady when I wear them. And now I'm eyeballing them in the black and white boa print.
Oh, please get snake print shoes. That will be amazing. And it will definitely complete your boss lady look. Well, Megan, I think the Willa flats are super cute, so I'm not surprised you've been getting so much use out of yours. And if they're anything like my Vionic shoes, they're probably ridiculously comfortable, right?
Absolutely. These are some of the comfiest shoes I've ever owned. Vionic is all about combining fresh, modern trends on the outside of the shoe with serious support and comfort on the inside. Let's face it, most moms are on our feet a lot of the day, whether we're running around after a toddler all day or getting dinner on the table after work. And Vionic shoes are built around amazing three-zone comfort with ultimate heel support. I just think taking care of your feet is such a great way to take care of yourself as a mom, and it's a huge bonus that the shoes are fashion-forward too. Vionic makes sneakers, loafers, boots and booties, heels and wedges and more, so there's really something for almost every occasion.
Vionic's 30-day wear test means you can hop over to vionicshoes.com right now, order a pair or two to try, and if they don't work great for you, Vionic will let you return them for a full refund within 30 days, even if you've worn them outside. And we've got a great deal for our listeners. Get free shipping through December 31st, 2020 when you use the code THEMOMHOUR at vionicshoes.com. Again, use the code THEMOMHOUR at vionicshoes.com. That's V-I-O-N-I-C shoes.com. And you'll get free shipping through December 31st, 2020.
Okay, so let's talk about the benefits of parenting in our 30s. And I think there are many. I'll go first. I thought it felt like a fun decade where I got to straddle like the mom side and the young sides of myself. So because I hadn't really done anything in my 20s, like I didn't go out, I didn't have money for travel, I was just so in the weeds with momming at that time. But then in my 30s, I had a little more money and a little more free time because we had family babysitters close by and slightly older kids. And like, we felt more confident. I felt more confident leaving the kids with John. We felt more confident leaving the kids with other family members. It just, the freedom really mm-hmm. kind of opened up. And there was a lot more travel and just going out and doing stuff for fun. And at the same time, I kind of felt like I could pass for yeah. like someone younger or someone single. So like, I remember going clubbing in Vegas when I was, I think, 35. And I had this weirdest feeling like, I'm getting away with something. Like, I have all these kids at home. What am I doing here? And then also thinking, if anybody passed by me, they would never know that I'm not just like a single girl in my late 20s. And right. I got a kick out of that. And it was exhilarating for a short period of time. It wasn't a very long lived, I don't go clubbing in Vegas anymore, but I did, you know, I did kind of do some stuff like that from probably 34 to 37. And it was like this fun little window where I kind of got to relive some of the stuff I would have done in my 20s, but you know, maybe a little bit less self-destructively.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then just in general, I think in my 30s, I just had this sense of coming into my own and like really owning motherhood. Like, you know, all the babies, the pregnancies were out of the way. I had my routines down. I kind of had my philosophy down. I knew who I was and I just felt really competent and capable. And also that was when, you know, I was really starting, my blog was all kind of taking off in my early 30s. And then we started podcasting in my mid 30s. And so it was really the decade where my parenting life and professional life synced up because I was living the stuff I was writing and talking about in real time. Like it was happening mm-hmm. while I was talking about it, which is a little bit different from now where I'm doing a lot of looking back. Mm-hmm. And so there was just a lot of professional and personal satisfaction in that for me. So it felt like all the pieces really fit for quite yeah. some time in that decade.
I love it.
What about you?
Well, as I was listening to you, I was thinking about what are the differences between when I talked about the challenges and now talking about some of the benefits. And I think honestly, it's for me, it was an early 30s versus mid to late 30s thing. And I think it probably mostly has to do with the ages of my kids. And in my early 30s, I was still, like I talked about earlier, kind of junior in both personal and professional realms. And I was still figuring stuff out. And I had a bunch of really little kids. But I loved being in my mid and later 30s. And I loved being done with having kids. I loved, it became like a pretty big part of my identity that as many of my peers were just ramping up, I was done. And we've talked a ton on this show about how do you know when you're done? And not everybody has that clear cut feeling or is able to make the choice. And I fully acknowledge that. But I did feel very complete at 32, almost 33, having my last baby. And the years that followed, I just felt like I kind of came into my own as like, we're all here. This is the family that we have. And it was so fun to kind of like, I don't know, travel more. And like you said, go out more and learn to use babysitters more and like just regain some of that independence and know that I wasn't going backward again because I had no wishes or plans for another baby. So that was very satisfying. And that is not at all to take away from those of you listening who started at 35, because you all did a lot more in your 20s than I did, or than you did, Megan. So it all kind of like, yeah, I don't know that it all evens out, but it's just different depending on what
you
your just, experience
is. It's just
is.
Shifted from in one direction or the other. Like you have this intensive, you know, parenting experience, and you have an intensive non-parenting experience. It right. may just be in a different time
exactly.
of your life.
It's like shifted yeah. along the timeline.
And you're so right about the like the light at the end of the tunnel feeling. And for me, that came at 35 when I had a hysterectomy. So I knew I wasn't planning on having any more kids anyway, but let's face it, I'm highly fertile. So it could have happened. And just having that like once and for all completely off the table, like it's not going to happen yeah. no matter what, was like kind of sad, but more a relief. I didn't have to think about it anymore. And yeah. then it's like, okay, so this is what I've got. Like, I only have five kids. And if I can just, you know, get through the next 15 years of until I get them out of the house, everything is going to be in the clear. But yeah. there is something very different about that, knowing you're not going backward, like you said.
I think it's that you can sort of picture your life and your kids' lives in yeah. a projected forward way. Obviously, we can't predict everything, but much more predictably than if you're in the middle of, you know, fertility and planning a family right. or hoping for more or not sure or all of that. So I was thinking about when we started this podcast, and I just had to like cross check the math. So I had just turned 35, like, you know, a few weeks before this podcast launched. My youngest was newly 2, and my work was kicking into high gear again. So I really think that the most enjoyable parts for me of my 30s were the second half. And whether that's because I was 35 to 40 or whether it's because I was done having kids and I was done with diapers and strollers for the most part and naps, and it just coincidentally happened right between 35, 36, and then work picked up, and you know, you all know yeah. the rest is history. You've been here listening since right. that time. So yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the 40s. So, you know, this might be a bit shorter because neither one of us have actually spent a lot of time in this decade. And obviously, as we've said a few times, like if we were just starting our families now or still having babies at 40 and 43, it would be a very different experience. But we can talk at least about what we have experienced so far. So Sarah, you've been 40 for 8 months now. Please share your challenges that you have experienced, you know, setting aside the fact that it's 2020. But what do you think is going, like, even if you don't, if you're not experiencing it yet, yeah. what do you see as maybe the challenges that will come with parenting in your 40s?
Yeah, well, lucky for you, I am someone who likes to look ahead. So I have thought about this. And actually, a lot of my friends are 3 to 5 years older than I am. And when I say that, I'm thinking like not the friends I grew up with necessarily, but a lot of our like our work colleagues and people that I follow online for like, you know, beauty and wellness and inspiration, right. people I have kind of come to think of as friends, you and our other internet friends, which is, it's a pretty big influence. If you follow and read those people, a lot of those people in my life are, I would say, 5 years older than I am. So I have thought and kind of observed a lot about the 40s and parenting in your 40s. And, you know, I think there are some realities, things like perimenopause, things like sleep issues, hormones, just regular aches and pains of being a 40-year-old. I'm not trying to be overdramatic here. And I know, you know, I feel very thankful to be like a healthy 40-year-old. But I do think there are some physiological things that start to be a reality in your 40s that just weren't in my yeah. 20s and 30s. And as someone who thinks a lot about my health, and sometimes it's a source of anxiety, I just know I have to kind of come to terms with that. I have to learn good mental health practices for myself so that I'm not like worried about every mammogram I have to go get and it's just like, it's a grown up decade. Does that make sense? So I think that feels like it will be a bit challenging for me, but what am I going to do? I mean, I can't yeah. stop time. So I just have to get better at dealing with it. So yeah.
Yeah. And also, this is also the decade you're probably more self-aware than you've ever been. And yeah. and you know what resources you can, like how to talk yourself down, what resources you can lean on. You know, this too shall pass. Like there's also that side of it. So it's like things are going to really start, like everything's going to start going downhill yeah. physically, but you're also in a better mental place, or you're constantly getting into a better mental place to deal with it. So
that's
like
true.
They kind of balance each other out
well, and
to some degree.
The flip side of that, or just another piece of that, is because I was done having kids 7 and a half years ago, the physical realities of being 40 are not, for me, mixed in with the physical realities of pregnancy, breastfeeding, and postpartum. Whereas for some people, it is all happening at the same time. And that's a different ball of yarn to unravel. But for me, like, I've been hormonally not childbearing or breastfeeding for several years, which means everything that's happening to me is not because of small children. It's just because I'm 40. So it's interesting.
And you're not trying to, like, because you're not having any more babies or trying to, you're not like fighting against that for like an urgent reason with a deadline either. Like, you know, fertility is not, you know, like really anything you need.
Nope, it isn't.
Right now.
I've done it.
you don't need it. Yeah.
So how about you?
Well, so again, my particular experience, I'm 43 and my older kids are, you know, grown-ups, adults. And then I've got two in high school and one in middle school. So sometimes it's kind of hard not to start looking too far forward and then mentally like skipping over the next 7 years.
That's interesting.
I have just been doing the mom gig for a long time. Like, I've just been at it for so long now that sometimes I just feel like remember the conversations you and I had about the day you realized you no longer wanted to talk about teething or like potty training? Like, we'll talk about it on the show, and that's interesting because it's from a different perspective. But like, the day you realize that you sit down with your friends and if they brought up like a milestone, you just didn't care to talk about it anymore. I feel like in similar ways, I'm starting to use up my interest level in like the middle school, high school experience. But I can't. Like, I still have 7 more years with until Clara has wrapped up high school. So I've still got, you know, years of being emotionally and mentally and physically available for her and for Owen and Will, but you know, they're almost like at the finish line really, but like Clara still got some time and Owen does too. And then there's adult parenting, which as we've talked about does not mean it's not parenting. So there's not a whole lot I can do right now besides look forward and say, okay, so in 7 years, what would I like my life to look like? But I can't really change much right now to like position me or anything else like that. Besides the life changes that just happen. And that kind of ties into the fact that I'm divorced. I look around me and I see a lot of people going through relationship changes and transitions and divorces in their late 30s and early 40s. So I actually do think my experience of being a newly single mom or divorced mom in your early 30s is pretty common. So early I think there's 40s. Probably listeners, or sorry, yeah, early 40s. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who are there or about to be there or feel the impending being there-ness. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that adds the other aspect of like, everything is kind of a question mark. Like, I don't know where I'm going to live, but I know it's not going to be the house I currently live in 3 or 4 years. Like, I know that for sure. Unless something really weird happened. There's no need for me to stay in this huge rental house any longer than I have a bunch of kids in the house. So that, like, I know it won't be here, but then where will it be? Mm-hmm. And I know, like, I could end up being married again or something like that. But what would that look like and when? So it makes it kind of hard to settle into anything specific or like take any firm steps forward. And then that leads me to this whole other thing where I'm not sure if this is common to the 40s or if it's just my experience of the 40s having been a mom for so long and then getting divorced. But I just feel more hesitant to shake things up or start new things than I used to. And I don't know why that is. Like, in my 20s, I would change everything every day if I wanted to. And then in my 30s, there was that the external pressure to settle down and look mature, but I still took plenty of risks. I was always starting new business ventures and I would just have an idea and just run with it. And I feel like in my 40s, every choice feels a little more fraught. Like, I don't feel like I have all the time in the world with my kids or with myself. And I'm trying to set myself up for some question mark future. So like, I kind of feel like that's probably pretty common to other people in the 40s as well. Just this idea, like, do I want to do this thing? I really need to make these choices count. I don't want to just do stuff just because I could. So what's the thing I really want to do? But you can really spin a lot if you try to put too much perfection or meaning on something like, you know, starting a new blog or something. Right. So which that's, you know, that's something I've been struggling with for how many months now? April. Yeah. I've been talking about starting a blog and it's not like I've never done it before, but there's something that feels now like I want it to be the right thing because I don't want to do it again in 4 years and start a new one. And I don't want to let it peter out and all that stuff.
And you know enough. You know enough to know the pitfalls and how to do it well. And so you almost know too much to be just fearless.
Yes.
I wonder if you're, as you're talking, I wonder if your 50s are just going to be like an explosive of creativity and adventure. And, you know, like we know that these seasons kind of come and go. So as you were talking, I was kind of smiling, thinking like, I bet 50s Megan is just going to be like off the rails.
I think you're probably right. I'm going to do something wild. I'm going to end up like climbing a mountain or like living on the top of a mountain or like living in Paris. I mean, who knows? It could be all of the above. Yeah. Like I could do all of it. And I think there's something a little frustrating about seeing that in front of me and it feels so close, but I still have work to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have 7 more parenting, like years of intensive parenting to do. And there's not a whole lot I can do between now and then, just except, I guess, save money.
Well, okay. I think it's really good that you brought that up. And I guess I can't yet totally relate to that piece of it. But remember, like, I know when I had my last kid in preschool and my other two were in elementary school, I would walk into the preschool and be like, don't look at me for a play date. I don't want to go to your birthday party. I don't want to sign up to bring muffins. Like, I am so mentally checked out of this phase because the newness or the urgency or the excitement was happening down the street at the elementary school. Yeah. And so I think it's really good to acknowledge that like our enthusiasm and our investedness and our engagement does not have to be equal for every stage and every kid. And I know you're not phoning it in for Clara. You're not going to phone it in for the next 7 years, but I think it's okay to acknowledge that like you've been a middle school mom 5 other times and it's no longer novel and it's not that novel.
Yeah.
It's not going to feel the same. And I don't think that means you have to like relish or appreciate every moment. I think it's totally valid to admit like, meh, I don't care. Not that you don't care about Clara and her last 7 years at home, but like there's no way that you would experience that with the same enthusiasm that you would the first couple of times.
You can't. No, you can't maintain that enthusiasm over like more than a decade. Like I've been a middle school mom now for a decade. Mm-hmm. I think that's about right. More than a decade because Jacob's almost 23. So he would have been 12.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, you really can't, or no, sorry, he would have been 11. So like 12 years I've been doing this and it's just, it's like enough is enough. You know, and the other thing is, I think my focus has really been shifting recently. And it always has been this way. We've talked so much about the relationships we have with our kids and how really that's our end game. Like mm-hmm. what relationship will we have with our kids and what do we see at the table in 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, whatever. And I feel like in a way I've become so forward focused on our eventual relationship or how the relationship we have now will look when they're adults, that the stuff that's happening right now just feels like a way to get there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah, it just feels like a means to get to the adult relationship. I'm no longer so, and that doesn't mean I want to miss things. I don't want to miss milestones and important moments and stuff, but like those will pass. Like that is no matter what, it's fleeting. And what I'll have after that is adult children and eventually grandkids and stuff like that. So it's just, I guess I'm feeling less intensive about what's happening day to day with my sixth grader and more thinking about like her as a human, you know, that I want to be in relationship with for the rest of my life. So it's just a very different, it's kind of a little bit of a tension point, honestly.
I hear that. Yeah.
And you mentioned already being in great physical shape, not being effortless and wellness and health. I just feel like I have to be really mindful about that stuff now. And I really feel for women starting families in their late 30s or 40s and knowing you have to do all this self-care, but like also having little kids. Mm-hmm. Like you got to put thought into it, but you don't have the time to do anything about it. So like that's a little easier when your kids are older in your 40s, but I just wanted to throw that out there as a challenge that I think anyone in their 40s has, but particularly someone with younger kids
at this stage. I always like to think of the flip side of that is maybe those moms, you know, learned more or saved more money or somehow they banked the self-care in their 30s. Like I'm just thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Because it, like you said, it shifts. I'm not sure that it totally evens out, but pros and cons for sure.
Okay. So we've talked about the challenges of being moms in our 40s. But let's talk about the benefits because I think there are many. And I'll go first on this one. So I just don't really care anymore about like where I fit in. I think I was obsessed in my 30s about where I fit in like the sort of grand, like, spectrum of moms. Like, was I an older mom? Was I a younger mom? Could I pass for younger than I was? Or did I look older? I remember being obsessed with celebrities. Like, if I was watching a movie and I'd see a celebrity who I thought was probably around my age, like, Googling to find out when the movie was made and how old they were when the movie was made. Like, I had this real obsession with figuring out, like, where I fit, I guess, in the timeline. And now I don't care. I don't care about any of that. I think I look good for my age. I'm pretty confident. Like, I still have things that bug me. And those now do, I mean, you could look at this as a challenge. Like, things crop up all the time now. Like, my neckline does not look like it used to. It looks like it has that chicken bony look sometimes, like the little waddle at the bottom. I never had that until probably this year. I'm trying to take good care of my skin because I've got dark spots and new wrinkles. And then I'm seeing, like, aging happening in weird places. Like, this summer, because I was wearing shorts, I noticed, like, my kneecaps are saggy.
Yeah, yeah. I my kneecaps, like, just are above not the same kneecaps as they used to either.
And that is weird. That is not something I ever thought about. Unless, like, old ladies. So you don't see an old woman walk past and I think, oh, look at that fit old woman in, you know, like, in her 70s. But you can, she's like all muscled, but you can tell she's older because her kneecaps are saggy. And mine aren't, I don't look like, I don't have the kneecaps of a 70-year-old woman yet, but I'm just saying it's odd. Like, it's weird. And I'm noticing now the effects, but the benefit is I kind of just feel like I'm about where I should be. And right. I'm not angsting,
like,
about it.
Like,
you know,
you're feeling like you are earning these stripes, like, in the right phase of your life. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't love it when I realize, like, I have these little, those little tinkle razors because my little mustache keeps coming back and I never noticed it in my 30s. And now I feel like a muskrat when I don't. And I have very fine blonde hair. So it's not like I have, like, you know, a thick black mustache or something, but still, it just isn't what it used to be like. But I don't have that weird mental obsession with comparing myself or seeing how I stack up or, like, wondering what people think about my age. I just don't care. And that's not really specific to motherhood, but it helps because moms often, I think, feel kind of behind the eight ball. Like, it's hard to keep up with fashion. It's hard to keep up with their hair. It's hard to keep up with their skin. It's hard to keep up with their fitness. And it's nice to have that pressure to be hot kind of, like, fading into the background and just knowing I can look really good for where I am in my life. And I still want to look my best, but I used to be kind of vain, I think, or just, like, preoccupied. And that's mostly past. Like, there's, time is not going to stand still and it's not going to go backward. This is what I've got. You know, I'm moving forward in age and in life. And I would say the same thing about, that's another big difference between my 30s and 40s and parenting. I don't really care anymore how anyone feels about my parenting choices. And that's been something that's gotten better and better and better for me over the years. But now in my 40s, like, I have a wide range of kids and I can kind of see what outcomes I'm responsible for and which ones I'm not. And a lot of moms won't get there until their late 40s or 50s, but that's my experience. And it's been kind of cool. I just feel very comfortable. Like, I don't look at myself every day and think, wow, I look just as good as I did when I was 32. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I wish I had appreciated how good I look at 32, but I don't care. Like, it just doesn't really bother me. So how about you?
Well, I think everything you said is what I have heard and absorbed about the decade of the 40s and just what I'm looking forward to, like the giving fewer you-know-whats about things. And we've talked a lot about the, you know, some of the more challenging realities, but feeling more comfortable in your literal skin or your figurative skin or both, caring less what other people think. I think that's something I hear a lot of women in their 40s and 50s talk about, and I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm excited for that. So yeah, I mean, I think those are the things you pretty much articulated the reasons I'm looking forward to this decade and, you know, more time and space to, you know, focus on myself, to be honest, like mentally, physically, you know, when you're done with the little years that are physically intense, there is time and space that opens up. We've talked about that a lot on this show. It happens to coincide with my 40s and even my late 30s, but yeah, I'm excited. Bring it on.
Even the saggy kneecaps.
I mean, I already noticed that my kneecaps are not 35 anymore.
There's just, it's like the little patch of skin directly above it, like on your quad.
Yeah.
Even when the quad is tight and in good shape, there's just a bit, it just doesn't look right, Sarah. I don't know. I'm sure there's people listening to this right now going, thinking we're crazy.
No,
but
no, I know. I dare you. I know exactly what you mean. You have such, I mean, I just think you have great legs and they're long and they're lean. And I have never really liked my legs anyway. So maybe for you, it's an even, like, it's an even.
I could always count on my legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, now and my, like, mine were never my asset. So that's pretty sweet.
Well, oh my gosh. Well, I think this has been really fun to talk about. Definitely want to encourage people to like email us and tell us their experience. Because again, I mean, we have to give the caveat that ours does not reflect anyone else's but our own. But I would love to hear how listeners are experiencing parenting in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s. Or I don't know what age range we have. Maybe we have some teen moms or maybe we have some moms in their 60s. I don't know. Would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Including what the 20s and 30s were like when you didn't have kids and those around you were starting to. And I love hearing just kind of the variety of experience. So I would love to hear from people too. That's hello@themomhour.com. In case you don't know how to find us, that's where you email us.
That's where we live.
How about everybody should join us on November 7th? Cause whether you're 20s, 30s or 40s, you need a night away right now. Yeah.
Yes, you do. And we are having our very first virtual retreat, which is basically, I don't know, a reason, an excuse, an incentive for you to kick your family out of your house, or better yet, go find an Airbnb or hotel and check yourself in for a night and then join us. Like, we're going to keep the content and the sort of participatory stuff pretty loose so that you can participate at whatever level you want, which means we're not going to know or be mad at you if you skip most of it and just like hang out in a bubble bath or something like that either. It's really just a reason for you to treat yourself and get away. So that is on November 7th and that is a Saturday night. And there's a link in the show notes, or you can just go to themomhour.com/virtual retreat to find out all the details.
Yep. And we will be back on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about stocking your family's medicine cabinet for cold and flu season 2020. So check back with us on Tuesday and we'll talk to you then.